This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
This morning, I'll be speaking the topic, Prevailing Dreams. Prevailing Dreams. I know for sure that we all know the power of a dream. And in a particular room, at a particular time, you can have 20, 30, 40 different dreamers. The will and the strength behind each individual dream will vary. Out of the 20, you will see those who only have wishful thinking. When you look at a typical pitch, they do some TV shows where they would call people together and they would say, oh, we have some funds. We want you to come and pitch your ideas to us. And we will back you up with investments. And we will then see, with the help of our fund, if we can help you to fulfill or realize your dream. There may be 50, there may be 100, there may be 20 people contending for a limited amount of money. And there will be judges to look at certain indices behind each dream, each idea, to see which of the dreams, which of the ideas would prevail. And out of all those who would contend, if they will be fair, you will see that some people, there is no power behind their dream. They will have lofty ideas, but the idea will not prevail because behind it is just a wish to break out of poverty, a wish to make a name for themselves, a wish to put their talent to use, a wish to do this or that. But the prevailing dream in any given room at every given time is the dream backed by the strongest conviction of the owner of the dream. That is the dream that prevails. That is the dream that wins the day. That is the dream that wins the hour. There may be several good things that will be available to a man or a woman to achieve or do. The most compelling argument of the hour is the argument that is backed by the strongest will, fueled by the strongest dream. In 1945, after the Second World War, Europe was in disarray. They had fought two wars within the space of about 20 years. They had the First World War, 1918, thereabouts. Second World War, 1940, thereabouts. The war cost the world a lot of things. At least estimated 20 million people died during the war. We had nations that were devastated by nuclear weapons, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. All over Europe, we had debris of war. Europe had turned on itself. The triad of Italy, Germany, and Japan had come together, put resources together in a bid to conquer the world. The other nations of Europe had resisted. There was a long drawn battle. America, as another continent, stood and watched from afar. Australia stood and watched from afar when the war got to a point. America, Australia, and the rest had to join. They saw that the battle was going to be a stalemate. Both sides would kill each other off. Russia decided to join. They were far, and their land was cold. It was a bitter territory to conquer, and yet they had mastered the cold over the years. They saw at the end of the war, all they had was what we call ruins. Not the year 1945. Their initial plan before the war was how to conquer the world and amass or gather the resources of nations. They had done the Berlin meeting earlier in the 1800s, where they carved out Africa and other countries, and they had started their program of colonization of all other nations. After the war, they decided to build, because at the time when Africa does not have the power, when Africa has grown to have the population and the power to see the weakness in Europe and chase out the colonial master, when they wouldn't even have the strength to fight back, they had already used their power to dominate the consciousness and the ability of Africans to dream. Imagine Europe was at war. Resources were scarce and empty. Those that they took here in Africa, that they took and they said, oh, we are colonizing you. At that time, we had the strength to break the hold of these nations off our neck, but they had mastered our minds. We couldn't even think of freedom, even when our masters were weak. When our masters were comatose, we couldn't think of how to break free of their hold. They had conveniently mastered the mind of the black. And then they were going to rebuild their nations. And they had no resources. As at the end of the war, Britain was owing America almost $200 million. America had been supplying them with weapons, with funds for the war. Before America and their soldiers decided to join the war to end it in 1944, they did an assessment of what has happened in Europe. They realized they would need billions in currencies of all kinds to rebuild. They also knew that they would need men. Most of their men were dead. Their women had been forced to join the labor force because there are no men to go into factories and work. Things were dire in Europe. Children, child labor, 8-year-old children, they were in coal mines. Everybody was scrambling for survival. It was a season of baby boomers when there are so many women and so few men. Churches have to turn their eyes away from men that would impregnate multiple women because they needed to rejuvenate their population. There was no longer a question of, oh, one man, one wife. It was that bad. It was that bad. And this is not about black people in Europe. This is about everybody. It was the age of the hippies came after that, when people began to do community childbearing. You don't know who the owner of the child is. All of you will just stay in the community, 15 women to 4 men. All of them will be sleeping with each other randomly and producing children. And they had to turn their eyes away from it because they needed the population to come back. It was a season of great desperation for Europe. But they had dreams. They were not just going to rebuild their nations. They were going to rebuild them to become first-class nations. They were going to use the war as an excuse to relaunch themselves, to rebrand themselves, to bring themselves into the first world. Guess When I said this year was 1945, Nigeria, for example, gained independence 1960. They had 15 years ahead of us, just 15 years. They were going to start from the scratch, the only cities left standing after the war. Number one of them was Paris, and it was because Paris quickly submitted and surrendered to Hitler before Hitler would start bombing them. Poland was burnt down to rubbles. Warsaw, Warsaw, and Warsaw saw war. That was the newspaper headline of when Hitler hit Poland. He burnt the city down, raining fire from aircrafts. There was nothing in Europe, and we had everything in Africa, but we couldn't dream. But they could dream. They were dreamers. They had nothing, but they had their dream. They had no money. They had their dream. They had a system that they had put in place, a fragile system that if only Africans saw it at the time, Africans would say, we don't want to serve you anymore. We would chase the white men out of our country, chase them, because they didn't have the resources to fight on many fronts. They just finished fighting in Europe. They cannot amass the men to come and fight in Africa. But we even give them men. Many of our fathers died in the World War. They recruited men from Africa to die in Europe. Well, this is where I'm going. How could they rebuild and become first world nations with nothing? How? Where did they get the resources to build all the tunnels, to build the underground, to build the railways, to build the jetties, to build the cable cars? Where did they get the resources to make their nations beauties to behold globally? They had dreams. They got their men together. They planned the nations again. They put railway where it's supposed to be. They put everything, their dreams from their head, moved from their head to the drawing board. When they had built their dreams on paper, they decided to look for resources. They went to India. They recruited engineers, recruited the best of their talents and labor from India. They put them on ships and they brought them to Europe. They said to them, we will pay you. Rebuild for us. We will pay you. You will become citizens. We will give you permanent residency. Your children can be here. Your wives can be here. We are opening our doors to you. So because Britain had ties, they had gone far in the 1800s, in the 1700s. They had gone far. They had gone into countries like India, where the population was much. They had gone into places like China. They had been to Japan. They had gone all over, including Africa. They came to Africa and they came to get the best and the brightest. From the Commonwealth, they got men. It is men that build dreams. Men who cannot dream will build the dreams of other men. Let me say that again. If you cannot dream, you will build somebody else's dream. Africans couldn't dream. We had become slaves to our own minds. We couldn't master our own destiny. They, at their weakest, were still masters to us. At our strongest, Nigeria discovered oil in 1959. Europe was still being built. There was devastation everywhere. The Berlin Wall was still standing. The Cold War was going on. There was no resource to fight on many fronts. Then we discovered oil. And we had strength to make money and to build. At a point, one of our presidents said Nigeria has so much money, she does not know what to do with it. When you do not have dreams, if you have resources, you will not be able to put the resources to work because resources are there to build dreams. Had resources, I do. When they heard how much we had and that we didn't know what to do with it, white men with briefcases, they flew down to Nigeria. They came to make all sorts of deals. Oh, this is good for you. Oh, this is good for you. Oh, this is good for you. And those who had nothing came to sell nothing to people who had everything but lacked dreams. We began to sign off forms of accord, entered into this, all the lies that they put together. Oh, this is IMF. International Monetary Fund. How can you have International Monetary Fund when you don't have any money? How can you? They didn't have money. They didn't have men. But they set up organizations. Oh, this one is this development. This. Oh, this one. And they got Africa and Nigerians into all forms of agreements. When they were at their weakest, because we couldn't dream. It's a bad thing to lack the ability to dream. It's a bad thing to have weak dreams. It is a bad thing to have dreams that cannot compel you into action. When a man is moved by his dream, nothing else will matter. Young men moved by their dreams will drop their degree, will walk out of Yale, walk out of Harvard, because their dream was strong enough, it was vocal enough, it was powerful enough to incentivize them to run. Many of us will invite people to dream for us. My daddy will tell you, your father will tell you, my dream for you is to become a doctor. He has no right to dream for you. I don't have a right to dream for my children. I have a right to dream for myself. Every man has a right to his own dream. But no. And then we are going to force a particular person to become what is not, because we did not want his own dream to speak. We want our dream to speak over his life. Sometimes I'll speak to doctors, lawyers. They will say, "Oh, my father made me do this. This is not my dream." So even though their father had a dream, their own dream did not allow them to do what their father wanted. Even though they did what their father wanted, they didn't stay in it. People will say, "Oh, I studied to be a veterinary doctor, but now I'm a musician. My dream was to sing, and my dream prevailed." Even though they presented to me the opportunity to be a doctor, and I took it with both hands, I even went abroad to study. My dream prevailed over my father's dream. And my dream won the day. I became what my dream was. We've seen men like that from all over Nigeria. We've seen people like Fela Kuti, sent abroad to go study, came back a musician. The dream to sing was stronger than medicine. We've seen beautiful Nubia, went sent abroad to study, but the dream to sing was bigger. And I'm talking about little, little people, not great people, little, little people who are dreaming in their own capacity to fulfillment of their own destiny. But we, as a nation, have forgotten to dream. We don't know how to dream again. We came to a season of ease when we had oil. Everybody just settled and began to fight. Fight. There was no dream. There was no dream. You will hear them come up with that. They will tell them, have a vision. They say, vision 2020, vision 2015. All the visions that they ever postulated failed. Why? Because they were weak visions. Visions that were put up, but not with intention to implement anything. They were going to use the visions to steal resources. That tells you that it was a weak vision. A strong vision, when it does not have anything, it would be powerful enough to bring nothing into something, to make the thing that be not into what is. I'm speaking to us this morning on prevailing dreams. It is time to dream again. It is time to dream again. The year we are coming into, the year. Of our lifetime. Joseph had a dream when he was young. His dream came after so many others couldn't, had forgotten how to dream. Jacob forgot how to dream. Isaac forgot how to dream. Abraham was the first dreamer, the man who was going to build a city that he didn't know where it is. He didn't know to get there. But God just said, move. God said to him, move. I will show you a city. A city not built by human hand. That was a dream. Imagine anybody asking him, Sam, where are you going? Saying, oh, I'm going to a city. Oh, what is the name of the city? I don't know. Where is it located? I don't know. Then how did you know that you are supposed to go to this city? I had a dream. I was asleep in my bed. And then I heard a voice. It says, leave certainty. Leave comfort. Come with me on a journey. And I will take you to a place which I have inherited and given to you as an inheritance. And said, because of that, I left everything. And I was chasing my dream. I began to chase my dream. You will say, is he okay? Is he all right? Abraham's dream prevailed. Isaac stayed in the land. Jacob was only fighting for what his father had, the substance that he didn't eventually inherit. But when the days of Joseph came, dreams returned. Right from the age of 13, this young man had a dream that he would save the world, that he would conquer the world. But that dream came in the guise of greatness. He saw himself as great. He saw himself as conquering. He saw himself as a winner. He saw himself as a prevailer. He saw his sheaves standing while other sheaves were bending. He saw his stones, his sons, he saw himself standing bright as a star while the sun, moon, and every other were bowing to him. It was the first affirmation vision that was ever shown to us of the self, that it is possible for you to believe in yourself. His first dream were dreams that showed him that, hey, look at you. You are going to be greater than all. It was the first step towards having prevailing dreams. Once you know in your heart that God has set me up to be great, you are no longer saying, hey, somebody in my family is affecting me. Somebody is afflicting me. There's one somebody shooting arrow at me. That is no longer the case. You know that you have a prevailing spirit, a predominating spirit. You know it. That is the first step. Once your spirit is strong enough, then the whole of your being will follow the pursuit of your spirit. Today we look at the world, and many of our youths are running to nations that were built off their own resources. They took all the gold, silver out of South Africa. They took out of Congo. They took oil out of Nigeria and a lot of other resources. They used the resources of the one that couldn't dream to build their cities, and all of us now started dreaming to live there. Imagine the irony. A city built off the back of your labor force. A city built off the back of slaves that came from your country. A city built off the back of gold, silver, oil that came out of your country. That is where everybody says, oh, I'm traveling to now. That's where I'm going to. That is where my prosperity lies. I want to live in a city that was ruins 15 years before we gained independence. And even now in 2024, we are still very resistant to dreams. But a generation has to come that must dream prevailing dreams, that must see a glorious future, that must have dreams that are so strong that the status quo does not matter. What they have in their pocket will not matter. They will not be fighting over oil or gold or silver. They would be fighting for the fulfillment of their dream. They will have no rest in their soul until they see their dream come to pass. They will sit down and they will say, how was it done before us? How were the great cities built? Who built them? With what resources? What can we build in this Africa? What can we build? How do we build our road system to connect Egypt to Nigeria, to connect South Africa to other nations, Morocco, to bring the North and the South together, to harness the strength that we have in our numbers, to harness our technological activities, to build without borders, to be able to fly from Nigeria to a place without having to spend hours on stopovers because they said, oh, it is so unfortunate sometimes to see that Africa will struggle to move from one place to the other. And then in Europe, with £200, £100, £80, you can fly from city to city so conveniently. And you will wonder, how come they could dream? How come you could walk into their dream and see the fulfillment of their dream? And how come we can't dream? Many of us who have traveled, we saw their dream. But we still couldn't come back here to replicate it. As soon as we come back here, we begin to think of witches and witchcraft again. Ah, this one will kill you. That one will kill you. And the churches and the messages and the mindset has been so darkened that our imagination as a nation, it needs cleansing. Everybody goes to church. 90% of the people are praying against enemy, are praying against darkness, are praying against the devil. They are seeding their own dreams with seed of corruption. How would you be able to dream of tomorrow when your eyes are perpetually on the past? Somebody killed my father in 1922. Somebody don't allow my mother to live in 1933. And that is the story of Christians. Enemy that will not let me live should not live. You cannot dream with this man. And said, you cannot see tomorrow with your eyes focused on the past. You must look ahead. You must look above. But there is no space for you to look behind. What is past is past. What is done is done. Those ones are not memories anymore. They are not dreams anymore. They are memories. Dreams are for the future. The man who can dream is the man who wins tomorrow. The man who has prevailing dreams is the one whose reality of tomorrow will be sure. Your dreams are not just, oh, I want to be great. Oh, I want to have money. Oh, I want to have children. These are very good aspirations. They are not dreams upon which nations will be built. We must dare to dream again. To dream of building cities that have, of building ecosystems and cities that are self-sustenance. We must dream again of building things that have never been seen with naked eyes, but that we will birth to life. You must be convinced that you are a dreamer, and that not only would you dream, that you are capable of fulfilling that dream in your lifetime. A man that can dream has overcome the world. I pray for you. Your dreams will not die. If you do not have dreams, you will begin to have them. There will be prevailing dreams that will win against all arguments, all resistance, that will win against all odds. Your dreams that you have today, in the next few years, you will be living in the manifestation of these dreams. You will fulfill these dreams. You will tell the story of how one day you had nothing, but you began to dream. And by the power of those dreams, through the Holy Ghost, So you are telling the story and the testimony of how you became what you became in life. Your dreams will speak. They will not be silent. Your dreams would tower high above all opposition. You are a prevailing dreamer. Your nations are prevailing, dreaming nations. And you will dream again and you will fulfill your dreams in your lifetime. This is the word of God for you today. Run with it and come back victorious. Thank you, Father, for this is the truth of your word for us. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.